Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's the Philosophones. That's our new name. It's our band we're putting together, the Philosophones. Philosopher's Stone Podcast. How are all you doing today?
I am hangry.
You're hangry?
So hangry.
You haven't eaten yet today?
Oh, I've eaten, but it's never enough.
It's never enough. Just trying to adjust my microphone levels here. Okay. Looking.
Oh, there you go. There you are.
There we are.
It's hey, good morning.
Tuesday here in the rainy Okanagan. We have had, I'd say, two straight weeks of just dumping rain, which is
precisely
what the doctor ordered.
Thank God.
Supposed to get nice and sunny for this weekend, though. So we can party, Sam.
Yes. Weekend.
Excited. Party. Excited to come see, lay eyes upon your old kingdom.
Oh, I mean, it's totally unrecognizable, but I am excited to be back in the K-Town this weekend.
Yeah, I don't live downtown anymore, and every time I go down there, it's like a different city. Got to relearn where everything is and what everything is.
Mm-hmm. And now there's all there's going to be all sorts of stuff happening because of they're trying to put in this huge UBC skyscraper.
Yeah.
Thing downtown, and it literally broke another building in half.
Dude, they've had to evacuate almost all the buildings around it.
Yeah, like the buildings around it are all getting cracks in their
concrete. I saw videos of like the apartments and the hall in the hallways. There's just cracks running up through the whole foundation. Like,
it's ridiculous.
Like, honestly, how do you fuck that up?
I mean, the legal costs could be more than the cost of actually building the tower at this point. It's insane.
I'm pretty sure downtown Kelowna does not have solid land. It's like basically a marsh technically or something like that. It's like not rated to be dug deep into.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking. What they're thinking with that.
There's no, like, I don't think there are hardly any underground parkades downtown for that reason. And then they were just like, we'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it'll actually get finished. I don't even know. Have they laid the foundation yet? Or
it's just a giant hole downtown right now. Like, I don't know. It's such a liability, even just as it is. But the fact that it's like making the entire surrounding structures completely unsafe to inhabit. The Elks Club, the Elks Lodge down there, or was it the Legion? One of those two can't go in there anymore. And there's like a community of seniors where that was like their whole social life. And now they can't even meet up and play crib or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, there's like a business incubator. I think it was called Accelerate Okanagan that's there.
Yeah.
They literally have a crack running down their entire facade. You can see right into the building from the side.
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal. Like, did someone forget to carry the decimal or something? Like, don't they have, you know, methods to avoid this type of thing? It's just hilarious that the building that is meant to be for educating and making smart people is being kicked off with like the dumbest mistake ever.
Oh, the irony.
I'd be scared to go in that building. Like, if this is how they start, like,
yeah. Are the students designing this?
Yeah. Actually, this was a high school project for credit to get in. It's for a scholarship. Yeah. Last year it was the spaghetti bridge. This year it's the new skyscraper downtown.
Great work.
Yeah.
The lead raft is next.
And not to mention like a bunch of so many iconic locations are scheduled to be demolished in the next few years. It's sad. It really is. It is not the city I grew up in at this point.
Yeah. What am I moving back to?
Well, Dakota's is slated to be gone.
Oh man.
Where's
the new center of comedy going to be once Dakota's is gone?
That's an excellent question.
Lower Mission, downtown.
No, it's got to be Central City somewhere. Like, there's no other. As soon as you start getting into these other neighborhoods that are on like an appendage of the main body, then it's going to be, you're going to have
trouble.
Yeah. The location of Dakota's right now. Dakota's is the comedy hub in our city where new comics can go and yell dick jokes without fear of being judged. That's all being torn down to make high rises or some other soulless building is going to go in there. And then New Life Church, where I spent much of my childhood, that is being slated to be demolished too, which I wouldn't really care much, but there happens to be one of the best restaurants in the city also in that building. So that's scary. That's scary news for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you get back here, Sam, you got to get yourself some Woodfire Bakery before. Although they did do an interview with the owner and they are planning on just finding a new location, but that could be anywhere. Could be in West Kelowna for all I know.
Man, I'm really hungry right now, and that still wouldn't be my first choice.
What would be your first choice?
Like if I was really hungry? First choice?
If it went to West Side, you mean? What are you talking about? Are you talking about Woodfire right now?
I was trying to talk a little shit about it, yeah.
I will end this podcast right now. I don't care. All right, friends off.
First choice if I was really hungry. I don't know. I always want to eat pizza for some reason.
Well, that reason is because it's cheese and tomato sauce and bread.
And pepperoni. And don't forget the pepperoni.
Yes.
That is the one thing I'll miss most probably about Toronto is phenomenal pizza here.
Yeah.
I get my pizza from FBI Pizza. Guess what that stands for?
Female Body Investigator.
Close.
Okay.
Full-blooded Italian.
Oh, shit. Well, we've actually got a lot of pizza joints that you might not even be aware of now, okay? So, Red Swan, I heard is good.
That's a black swan, but red. Weird.
Yeah, well, it's another member of the swan family.
I don't think there are any red swans, actually. I've never seen
them. There's always something. If you can think it exists. That's what I've learned. Mm-hmm. There's at the very least a swan that was dyed red.
A real swan that they dunked in
tomato sauce. That's their mascot.
They've let it run around slapping its wings and spraying sauce all over the place.
That's what makes it unique, you know? That's what gives it its charm. You get a little sauce on you, a little bird attacks you.
At happy hour, they unleash the swan. Oh my God.
Yes. And at the end of the month, they slaughter the swan and they make a specialty pizza with it.
Oh, so, man.
Yeah. Try finding that in Toronto, you uncultured swine.
Yeah. I'm going to miss. I've been thinking about the city and like what I'm going to miss. And I think what I'm going to miss is access to multiple quality movie theaters. That get stuff before almost anywhere else in the world. Like Bad Boys 4 is going to be in Toronto a day earlier.
I should book my flight right now.
I thought some of the trailers looked funny.
Dude, there's no way it's going to be as good. Well, first of all, Will Smith has gotten annoying to me. He's been exposed as an app. Like I love how all these A-list celebrities are just slowly getting exposed as being totally delusional. The whole Terrence Howard thing has been really just.
Oh, his new math that he invented.
Did you, cause he was on Joe Rogan's podcast recently and he said some crazy shit he can spout enough jargon for a dumb person to think that he's a genius.
Yeah,
but none of it makes any sense.
Yeah, like one of his claims was that he became like sentient and can remember being in the womb.
Yes. He claimed that when he was a kid, he came up with a bunch of like high concept physics equations before he read it about them in like actual physics textbooks. So he's like 1 or 2 years away from claiming to be like a messiah.
A Dune messiah. Yeah. Yeah. That was one that was interesting is can you have memories from before you have the capacity to have language, I guess.
Well, I think it's pretty well documented when memories are first formed. Isn't it?
I don't know.
I'm just learning about babies because I got a baby coming. And I'm pretty sure there's like a certain age where they can't. There's like, well, I mean, it's certain. Like, you might have memories within your first year. Like, a baby can remember like what happened to it earlier that day, but we all know just from being alive that we can't remember our first birthday. No one can, not even right. Terrence Howard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you take a quick scan online, it seems like your earliest recall is around 3 or 4.
Yeah.
That's when you can start to recall things.
Okay. Let's hear the question. Let's kick this off. What's your earliest memory? And do you think it's accurate at all?
I think it's kindergarten.
Uh-huh.
I don't know the orders. I have a few distinct memories from
kindergarten. You would have been like 6.
Yeah. I don't have memories before that. I don't think
that's, you should have some memories before kindergarten.
I do not remember. I have very patchy memories of kindergarten, elementary school, middle school. It's patchy.
Middle school is patchy.
Yeah.
Oh,
geez. I don't think about my childhood a lot. Maybe that's why I don't remember
anything. What happened never, to you, man?
Nothing really. I just don't take the memory.
Nothing of note, I guess.
No, okay. So like I do remember some things, right? It's just like patchy and very like fragmentary. But I do remember I went to a charter school in kindergarten in Worcester, Massachusetts, which is a rough area.
I've been there.
And I remember getting on the bus one day and a kid who just got off the bus, like throwing rocks at, I got off the bus and got in my mom's car and this kid started throwing rocks at our car. I remember that.
Whoa. That's pretty wild actually. Rocks.
But I wasn't an angel either. I pulled the emergency alarm on the school bus, just to see what would happen.
I'm going to tell you right now, Sam, that there is one of those actions a lot more badass than throwing rocks at a stranger's vehicle without even an effort to hide yourself versus accidentally pulling the emergency alarm on a school bus. There's one of those is really takes a little bit more sadistic.
I was just curious. I wasn't trying to hurt anybody.
Well, there you go.
I never claimed to be a badass.
You said you were no angel. I thought you were going to start talking.
No, if you're not, you can be not be an angel without being a badass. Like you could be a shoplifter. That doesn't make you a badass.
That's true. Yeah. But throwing rocks at a car kind of does when you're that age.
Nah, no one who can retaliate against a kindergartner.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what my earliest memory is. Let's see. I definitely... Like I can understand how like the most solid memories start appearing around kindergarten, but I feel
so you're the same as me. You're exactly the same as me.
No, I didn't. I said the most solid memories.
Oh, okay.
Trying to think. I have like very usually it has to be like something out of the ordinary was happening for me to actually have a memory of it. So like I think I have memories of very early on of like visiting cousins in Abbotsford.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of where my... Yeah. You know what? Yeah, probably like 4 would be the earliest I can remember. Because I definitely remember the conversation that we were moving to Germany. And I moved to Germany when I was 6. And I do remember the houses I was living in before living in Germany. So there's something there. But there's also this thing of watching home videos and then... You think you're remembering it, but you're really just remembering the home video of it. That's what I think has happened to me in some cases.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a lot of home videos?
We had a decent amount of home videos, but at some point the video camera stopped coming out. So it's like a various, every home video we've watched like many times at this point. I think my kids will have more home video of them than we had for sure. But yeah, it's like there's like classic moments that I can that are in the what do you call it? The canon of our family, I guess.
Family canon.
Like we can reference that video and we'll all know what we're talking about type of thing. Yeah. Do we have a lesson for today?
Maybe, but before we do, I just want to read Terrence Howard's quote on his first memory.
Okay.
And you tell me what seems fishy about this memory.
Okay.
And then we'll see if we could maybe. Okay, here's the quote. My first memory was almost like when you're dreaming and you're falling and you hit the bottom and you wake up. That's my first memory. But I didn't wake up here. I was inside my mother's womb, and I was about maybe 6 months inside the womb. And I'm like, okay, don't forget I'm here. Okay, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. End quote.
That's what his first memory was?
That's what he said, yeah.
Can you imagine the horror of being cognizant for 3 months trapped inside of a womb?
Okay, well,
the horror of remembering your own birth would be, it would just not be something I would want to remember.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I'm just reading this quote. It's like, okay, there's like a ton of shit in here that does not make sense. First of all, how do you wake up and know it's been 6 months? That makes zero sense.
He was familiar with the gestation of an embryo and what stages he's got. He looked at his body and he knew, oh, I'm about 6 months. Also, the fact that he knew what a month was or six was. It's pure delusion based on ego.
And then he's like, he's having thoughts in language.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget. So not only can he form thoughts with language, but he has the concept of forgetting, which implies he knows what a memory is. He knows that it's possible to forget something.
I don't think you don't need language to have a thought.
No. But his thoughts are literally in language, right? His thoughts are, don't forget this. Don't forget this. That's language. How can you have a thought that says, don't forget, without having
I guess that in that case, I would say, yeah, you need those words. But there's also, like, we talked about this before. I think that people think in concepts, not in the actual sentences.
Hmm. Where do you get the, can you have concepts without language, though?
Yeah, you can have an instinctive, like we were talking about before, like if I'm thinking, I'm thirsty, I'm going to get my water bottle, I don't have to have that sentence play out in my mind. It's just the concept of me being thirsty and remembering where my water bottle is and wanting to go get it doesn't have to be stated in a language for me to have that thought.
Hmm. But is it a concept of a water bottle, or is it just like the thing that you drink from?
It's an idea of being thirsty and going to get, like, having an idea. Ideas don't have to be written into, they don't have to be played out as a language in your head. Like, are you really having a monologue in your head all day? Like, could you transcribe every one of your thoughts that you have every day?
Well, I think a lot, but if you like want to, if you're thirsty and you want to go get a drink, is that an idea, or is that just like you're in a state of thirst and you?
It's an idea, but you don't have to say I'm thirsty and I want to go get a drink in your head.
But what's the difference between being thirsty and getting up to go and getting a drink, calling that an idea, and then calling it an idea when I think like, maybe when things fall, maybe that's gravity. Like, they seem totally different to me. One seems like you're having this desire and a goal that you're going to go do something. And then the other is you're thinking about a concept.
That's what I'm saying is that you don't have to put either of those into words for them to be thoughts.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
How can you think about gravity without using language? Like, how can you do that? How can you think about mass, acceleration, those things without some sort of language?
I mean, the language are just putting, they're just, language is just putting the thoughts into something that can be communicated. What came first, thoughts or language?
Well, if you're Noam thinking Chomsky, of like, you think that everyone has a universal grammar built into them so that they're capable of understanding language even before they encounter it. But I don't see how you could argue that you could have that you could think in depth about gravity without having without being able to put your thoughts into words.
Well, putting your thoughts into words would imply that you're having thoughts first and then putting them into words. Like, what came first, the thoughts or the words?
Right. Well, when you see an apple fall, right, and you can see that there's mass and acceleration, and it hits the ground.
Uh-huh.
And like, you want
to the feeling of being curious about that doesn't have to be put into words.
But that's the feeling of being curious is not the same as an idea. It's a feeling. Feelings and ideas are not the same.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So if I'm thinking I want to go do something later, do I have to say I get the thought in my head, I'd like to go play mini golf at Scandia later. Do I have to have that sentence play out in a ticker tape in my mind for me to have that thought?
I would say that if you like, I can say you can have the desire and the goal to go and do something, and that mm-hmm. can all hit you all at once.
Yeah.
And that's...
Now, to express the thought, I would need some words. Yeah. But just to have the thought, I don't think I do. Or is the thought a feeling? When does a feeling become a thought, an idea? I can understand, like, when you're talking about really high concept stuff or a complex stuff like physics, you really need some language to help you grasp certain ideas. But when the apple hit Isaac Newton on the head, I think that the thought, the relation of mass and gravity and acceleration, that he didn't need to write those words out. I mean, he at some point someone invented the word gravity to describe what his idea was.
Yeah, I don't know what went through his mind, but I don't see how you can, like, there's a reason all science is written down, I think. Like, because
for posterity and to show it to other people. I bet you some people could have scientific theories in their head they've never written down.
Maybe, but
you've never had trouble putting your thoughts into words?
If I have a thought, I can usually put it into words.
But you never
may not be good words, but I can put it into words.
Don't you think that your words can fall short of the thought you're trying to encapsulate?
I think a great poet, they can write words that will evoke emotions in you. And maybe they had an idea or something to get those words to be so good. I don't know what's going on in their mind, if they have like some feeling in their mind.
So you think the words precede the thought?
I don't think it's a one or the other type of thing, but I don't think that you can have complex cognition without language.
Complex cognition. Okay.
Like, I don't think you can think about stuff.
At what level is language required to think about certain things? Like I said, if I have the urge to go play mini golf at Scandia later, I don't need to have that sentence run through my brain to have that idea. But I can understand if you're trying to describe, like, you know, what goes on in a black hole, you're going to need some pretty complex language to describe that.
When you think, like, I want to go play mini golf at Scandia.
Yeah. I probably imagine myself at Scandia playing mini golf. But I don't think I need those words to play out in my head.
You don't think the word Scandia when you want to go to Scandia?
I don't need to. I can just imagine myself at Scandia playing mini golf and then the feeling of wanting to do that. That none of that requires language.
Okay, yeah. So you're just imagining yourself there.
Yes, and I think that's a lot of, like, when I was talking about feeling thirsty and wanting my water bottle, I'm just imagining myself getting the water bottle. I don't need to have the words played out in my head.
But if you want to talk about a concept or think about a concept,
well, then you're talking about communicating thoughts.
In your mind. Just think about it in your own mind.
Okay.
If you want to think about something.
Okay.
When you want to think about something, do you use words in your mind when you think about it?
Usually only when I'm rehearsing saying something to someone about that thought.
Hmm. Okay. And maybe people just have very different brains and ways of thinking.
Well, there's a concept. you don't think, like, I find it very hard to believe that everybody is having a running monologue in their head about every thought they or desire, but you know, like,
oh no, I don't believe that at all.
Like, I can think I need to pick up certain ingredients from the grocery store later today for the dinner I'm making, but I'm not thinking I need to stop and go get this piece of produce. I'm probably just thinking of the image of the fruit in my head, where it is and what order of the day I have to go get that. But I don't think I need any words in my head to for that thought to happen.
But your brain has to have some sort of, even if you're not aware of it consciously, your brain has to be doing some sort of cognition to give you those thoughts.
It's, I would say I think more in images and feelings than I do in language.
Okay, but you still think ideas we don't actually need language to do, like, science, for example? Or
I think you'd need language to communicate science and to do science as far as, like, writing down results and stuff like that. You know, memory is going to become an issue at one point or another. And if you ever want to relay what you're talking about to people, you definitely need language. But I don't think
that you need it to aid your own memory.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Where your memory breaks down, you might want to write some shit down. But I think that, you know, you can have ideas about how physics works. Maybe, like, if you're thinking back in the day where, like, you know, cavemen or early humans didn't have very complex language, but they could come up with stuff like slings for throwing spears. Someone came up with that concept with very limited language, I would imagine. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, for someone to, you know, realize that you can get more velocity by using an extension of your arm, like a stick or a sling, I don't think you need to be able to put those into words as to why that's, I don't think you need to, you can have that revelation without ever speaking a word.
Can you know what a stick is without
using you can know the word what a stick, stick is without using a word, the word stick? You can be familiar with objects without giving them names.
Don't you just by picking something up categorize it in your mind?
Yes, but you probably don't need to file them under a name. You can just remember this is a stick. This is the what this is.
What is it? What is it again?
I could tell you, people would know what a rock is without having the word for a rock.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You sure do.
I don't know what this sound you're making is. It's just a sound.
Again, this is a communicating thought. When it comes to communication, you definitely need language.
How can I communicate in language from thoughts that aren't language?
Thoughts are what we, language is invented in order to communicate thoughts, is it not? Like, what, okay, how do you explain how the people that lived before language, like, was there not a time where Homo sapiens communicated in, like, grunts and stuff, but they could, it's not like their grunts were the limited their actual ability to think.
I mean, they don't seem to, I would think that if you, the more complex your language is, the more complex your thoughts can be.
I would agree that has a connection for sure. But I'm saying that for basic life stuff, like I said before, if we're going into, like, really complex science, you're going to need language to describe what you're talking about because of the complexity of it. But I don't think I need it. I don't think I need language to do basic things around the house, chores.
No, absolutely not. You don't need language to do those things.
But I can have the thought that I need to do a chore without having me in my mind say to myself, I need to do this chore.
Sure.
I don't need that sentence.
I will grant you, I have never thought that, I've never said that wanting to get a drink and going to get a drink and all that stuff, that you need to have language to do that.
Okay, but you didn't say you need language to
have
thoughts.
I said that is not an idea. That is
not an idea?
No. An idea is has to have some language to it, I think, because I'm just going to look up the definition of idea. I know you're not supposed to do that as a philosopher, but
well,
I have to do this.
So you're separating thoughts from ideas.
Well, I think the problem is you're using the colloquial definition of idea, which they have here, dictionary.com, thought or suggestion as to a course of action or the aim or purpose of something, which
I'm
is not
a colloquial guy.
That's
Who
not
what the
philosophical
I'm not a philosopher.
Meaning. Yeah, so unfortunately, we're just hung up on that. So when okay. I say idea, I do not mean the aim or purpose or the suggestion to a possible course of action. That's not what I mean by idea.
Okay.
What I mean by idea is like, what makes gravity work? That's what I mean by idea. Like gravity is mass times acceleration, something like that. A proposition.
Okay.
Which has to be language, in my opinion.
Can I have a thought about, say, how does that work? You know, can I have the thought, if I saw a bird fly and I knew nothing about the science of flight or how it actually happens, if I saw a bird fly as an early human, can I not have the curiosity of how is that flying without using language?
You can't have the, I don't know, you can't express, you can't have an idea though. Like the idea of like.
So the curiosity is not an idea.
No. An idea is literally something that you can say when I think of an idea. Like I just had an idea.
Mm. But if wondering how birds fly, isn't that, so that's what you categorize that as a thought and not an idea?
When I'm like, if like. I mean, you could like look at a bird flying and you could think like you could even that is like you're thinking about wings and stuff and like what are how do you,
you know. But if I don't know that the wing, like I could assume that the wings are helping, but I still don't know what exactly is happening there.
There's the bird that you see flying around.
Yeah.
That's a real bird.
Yes.
Then there's the concept of a bird, which is not a real bird. The concept is not real. And to think about the not real thing, you need to have some language.
Okay. So the concept of a bird.
Because you have to understand, you have to understand that in addition to all the birds that you see, there's also the concept of a bird.
Okay.
Which might not even be a bird. Maybe you could make it out of something like a plant.
I'm lost now. What's the difference between the concept of a bird and an actual bird?
The concept of
don't
a bird.
Don't get frustrated with me, Sam. I have no formal education.
The concept of a bird is like the classical example of a concept is a bachelor. And a bachelor. The word bachelor, right? And what is a bachelor? It's an unmarried man.
Uh-huh.
That's you break it the bachelor down into those constituents.
Okay.
That's how you analyze the concept. This is just like the classic way. Maybe it's changed.
So a concept of a bird is a small animal with wings and a beak.
There you go.
That something can fly like that. Or can not fly. Necessarily fly.
Penguins don't fly, right?
Dodo birds don't fly. They don't anything anymore.
So right. So you see, even to think about this, you have to have like a classification system. And that like very way of thinking, I don't see how you can have this whole classification system and ability to break things down without it being some sort of language-like thing.
Okay, here's
the hypothetical. You may not be able to speak in the language of your thoughts, but maybe we have to come up with spoken language to bring it out. But it seems like at the ground of all of it is there's like this language-like thing where you break down, you have concepts that you can break down into different categories and whatnot. And
so what happens when you, if you were able to witness something completely unfamiliar to you, an alien or something, a being that you've never had any, you have nothing, no language of which to draw upon to describe it.
I did not prep for this. This is one of the hardest topics in philosophy. I did not prep for this at all.
All right. Well, we don't have to keep talking about it. Man.
Sorry.
Did you have something else you wanted to talk about?
No, we can keep talking about this. What was your question again?
I have no value to add to this other than just asking questions. If you were able to witness something, say something from a different dimension, but you had no previous encounters with anything in which to compare it to, so it had no appendages that you could describe, it had no facial features or organs or any familiarity, it didn't look like a tree, it didn't look like a duck, it didn't look like a car, it didn't look like anything you've ever seen before, unless you would have no language available to describe it. But you could still, wouldn't you still be able to absorb what it is in your mind and have it as a, as like a full idea or concept in your head?
When someone says
something's indescribable, they don't have the words to describe something, but they still have the memory of looking at the object. Mm-hmm. And thus there's an idea in their head of what it is, although language fails to just be able to describe it.
Can you say that one more time? Sorry.
So assuming you see something that you just don't have any language that could describe it to someone else. So you saw an alien from a different dimension. It has nothing, like, you couldn't be like, it had wings like a duck and the feet of an elephant. Like it had, you couldn't, it was so, so different than anything you've ever witnessed that you literally don't have anything earthly to compare it to. But you still have the memory in your head of the witnessing that thing. So language is now useless in describing this memory, but the memory exists as an idea and a concept in your head still.
Okay, so I would say, yes, you have the memory of it,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have a concept of it because you cannot break it down into any constituent like building blocks that would make up the concept. Because you don't know what it is. And I would guess that, like, in your brain's attempts to process it and understand what you're looking at, you'll go to the closest thing you can think of that it's like, and you'll think of it kind of like that, I would say. So I think, like, you'll try to come up with things that it looks like. Like, it looked like blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Simile, metaphor. Try to use those ways to describe it, I would think. But you wouldn't really have a concept of what it actually is if it was the first time you'd ever seen anything like it.
Okay, well, I didn't quite understand the concept of a concept, so.
I don't understand that either.
I just find that when I'm going through my day-to-day life, I don't feel myself describing things in English as I'm going and doing stuff. It's mostly just,
You don't need to anymore. Maybe you don't need to. Everything that you encounter every day, that you see, without even thinking about it consciously, it's classified and categorized, and you know exactly what its function is and everything.
So the ideas are stored in language, but I don't have to invoke any language to act upon them or to have them trigger a behavior?
I have no idea. But I do know that I don't know how that stuff is stored neurologically or anything like that. I can't answer that.
God damn it, Sam. I thought you knew everything.
No, I do. Concepts, I'm very bad on concepts. But I can say, like, we should do another episode on this because it is a whole thing about concepts and language. I tend to think you can't sever them. They have to be together somehow. But you're totally right that you can, like, animals don't, I mean, whales and stuff like that, lots of animals seem to have some sort of primitive language. Maybe even insects have a primitive language with pheromones. We don't know.
So would you think that someone who does not have the capacity for language, think of someone like, I'm imagining like a person who was raised by dolphins, or no, dolphins are too smart, something a little less intelligent. Say someone was raised by capybaras, right? And when by the time you find them, they're beyond the point where they can attain a language. That the fact that they have not been able to attain language is limiting their ability to have any sort of abstract thoughts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would think so. Yes. I don't think they could. You could have an abstract thought without language.
So it's almost like there's a difference between instinctual ideas and actually being able to think of things that are happening outside of your immediate physical being.
Say that again.
Like the capybara person that got raised by capybaras, right? They have no language. So for them to plan their day would be impossible.
Yeah, I don't think you could plan a day. Yeah. Like think of an order in which you're going to do things.
Yeah. Like I always think of my cats, like do they have they have kind of built in schedules based on feeding times and stuff, but I don't think they have any goals. They are like, they don't wake up. Like my cat's not waking up and being like, first I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that, and then I'll eat, and then I'll shit, then I'll sleep. It doesn't have like a list it's checking off throughout the day. It's just having moments of inspiration to do certain things.
Maybe, but I'm thinking now, like I'm thinking about what you said about not thinking with words, but that is, we shouldn't limit our definition of language to just words, because the earliest languages or like hieroglyphics is pictorial. And you could think of coming up with a non-word language that used images.
Mm-hmm. But what's the difference between a word and a hieroglyph?
The hieroglyph, you're supposed to be able to kind of tell what it is based on what it looks like, whereas with a word, it's an alphabet and the meaning is arbitrary to the symbols.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Huh. Interesting.
So you could think like maybe even images can be a language, maybe.
Well, that's what I was trying to say about how if I'm thinking about going to Scandia to play mini golf, I'm thinking of an image of maybe the building of Scandia or the golf course and me being there. And that's accompanied by a positive emotion. But I don't think in my mind I'm going, I want to go to Scandia today.
Yeah, or you're like Terrence Howard in the womb. Don't forget this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Was he saying the words "don't forget this," or was it the idea of not forgetting that he was repeating in his head?
He'd probably be like, "Oh, I learned language by listening through the walls."
That's true. Don't forget. Also, why can you forget that? Like, why the urgency? Why was he so intent on not forgetting that moment? You know, like, why would he have any sense of importance that memory meant anything and it was worth convincing himself to ingrain it into his memory? Like, how would he have any idea that what that experience was anything other than the complete ordinary experience?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's trying to say something like he's getting reincarnated or something.
Oh, of course. See, he's only a couple steps away from saying he's an alien or Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. or Jesus, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Iron Man. Maybe he wants another Iron Man movie. That's never going
to
happen.
You think that's what this is all leading up to?
He wants to replace Robert Downey Jr.
He's gonna insist that they use his actual design. Like he won't use the special effects. He wants them to use the designs he made for the Iron Man suit, and he wants to make it for real, or else it's no deal. Headlines: Terrence Howard explodes in a suit of armor.
Okay, well, I think we need to do a real concept episode next time.
Okay, I basically stretched my brain as far around it as I can go. But if you have...
Who knows? I'm probably totally wrong and you'll be vindicated.
I'd love being vindicated. It happens so rarely. But when it does, whoo, does it feel good.
But we should... What I did want to do a little bit about... philosophy of law and order, and then do a quick.
Ooh, that's relevant.
Yeah, and then do a quick bet on whether Trump goes to jail or not for the New York thing.
So just on that subject real quick, this is what I've been reading. I spend too much time on stupid websites like Reddit and TikTok, which is really, I think TikTok's the harbinger of the end of society. It's like the first mass, really, truly, I've never seen anything with such a high density of just unbridled misinformation. Almost no checks and balances on that thing as far as what's real and what's not. But
I remember when it showed up and it was just like, why the fuck do we need this?
That's how all these new social technologies are. Like, why do we need this? And the answer is we don't. But what was I going to say? Okay, the thing is that a lot of people think this case, this hush money case.
Election interference case.
Right.
That was the official motive from the prosecution's theory.
So that's what I think a lot of people are missing, because most people only read headlines. That a lot of people think Trump, his crime was paying off the prostitute. Or what's her name? She wasn't a prostitute. Oh, I guess she was. In that case, she was a prostitute. Whatever. They thought that's why he's on trial. And it's not the way he did it and covered it up, which is the crime.
Yeah, he lied on the books, falsified his business records 34 times.
But if you ask someone that is, say, a fan of Trump, they will say, well, I can't believe he's even just because he paid a prostitute money to not say that they slept together, how is that a crime? And that's where the thinking ends. That's why I'm kind of like, you know, at this point, people are not going to do any extra learning in order to get the truth that goes against what they want to believe.
Fair. Putting aside the brain dead fools who will decide the next most powerful person in the world, putting them aside, I think we should do over or under bets on whether or not Trump is sentenced to prison on July 11th. And whether that would be a good thing.
A good thing for
protecting law and order.
Okay, and you're going to have to describe to me in detail what over and under even means. I'm not a gambler. Sorry.
I've watched way too much sports podcasts.
Oh.
I don't gamble either, but I know all the betting terminology.
Okay.
Over under is just over under 50% chance. So do you think there's a more than 50% chance he is sentenced to some jail time that he actually serves? Or do you think it's a under 50% chance that he serves some jail time?
Well, I know my answer. Do you want to save it for next week?
Let's preface it. I think we should put out the prediction today.
Okay.
But I'll preface this with saying that if you go through the sentencing guidelines, actually, you know what? I won't preface it. I'll let you make your pick.
Okay. You're obviously a lot more privy to the technical and like what actually happens in the law system because you work in that industry. I'm going to go with my gut reaction based on how I've seen him being handled by the justice system in the past, on top of the effect it would have on a large portion of the population, and the fact that it's happening right before the election.
You're the judge. What are you going to do?
If I was the judge,
you're Juan Marchand.
If I was a judge worth my salt, I would sentence him to whatever the standard is for that crime.
Do you think that's what should
external
happen? If I told you right now that any other person, take away his fame and all that, any other person would serve some prison time for this.
This is hard because you know that the right thing to do is to sentence him to the prison sentence and treat him the exact same way as anyone else. But the reality is that the effect that could have on the country as a whole could be, shall we say, I don't know. It's so hard because I'm not sure people are really willing to go put themselves in harm's way for Donald Trump. I don't think a large portion of his supporters are willing to go that far.
A lot of them are in prison for it.
A bunch are in prison for it, but percentage wise, it's not a lot.
The most hardcore ones, a bunch of them are in prison. Yeah.
But of the most hardcore ones, that represents a very small percentage of his supporters.
Yeah.
My main concern would be, you know, a violent upheaval, but I don't think that would actually happen. I think people would bitch and moan on social media, and that's pretty much how it would go. I think everybody's going to vote for who they're going to vote for at this point. I hope there's some people on the fence that are getting swayed by this whole thing, but I don't know if there are. So I don't think he's going to see any jail time personally. I think it's under 50% chance he'll see any jail time, but I must state that I feel he deserved to go and serve time just like anyone else who's done what he did.
Oh yeah. I think he will serve jail time.
Okay.
Because the sentencing guidelines, like for the type of crime alone, right? 34 counts. You'd probably go to prison for some time for that. But on top of that, the sentencing guidelines require you to look at remorse, behavior during the trial, how you acted towards the jurors, the judge, the legal system. Sentencing guideline takes all that into account. And Trump was extremely disrespectful in the courtroom, constantly attacking the judge, lying about the case.
But think of all the gag orders that he got put on him with no consequence.
He violated the gag orders in that case 11 times.
Yeah. So wouldn't a regular citizen have been?
He was found in contempt.
If someone was violated a gag order 11 times, don't you think they would have seen the inside of a jail cell well before they hit the number 11?
Well, here's the thing. Anytime during that trial, the judge would have been well within his rights. And this is his civil trial, his criminal trial. The judge would have been well within his rights to have Trump placed in taken out of the courtroom and forced to watch the proceedings on a monitor.
Right.
Didn't do that.
And that's where
he was found in contempt 10 times in this trial, criminal contempt.
That's where this is where I'm thinking he's not getting treated the way a normal person would, I would say absolutely you're going to see some jail time, but this is not a normal situation.
I would say that this is how they do it, right? They want the trial to go smoothly and finish as quickly as possible. That's the judge's number one priority, is get the trial done fairly.
Yeah.
You start doing this stuff in the middle of the trial, you open it up to all sorts of delays. So you get the trial done. You give him plenty of rope to hang himself.
Yeah.
And then you give him the sentence. And I think there won't be much problems with that either. And I think because Trump's entire campaign in 2016 was, I'm going to put Hillary Clinton in jail and I'm going to put the Bidens in jail.
That's so funny that was how his
whole campaign.
I've read he's denying that now, that he never said.
He lied about that. So there's the question, okay, the interests of law and order. Right? Is it in the interest of law and order to put this guy in prison? And the reason you might think maybe don't do it is because of all the riots and stuff that might hypothetically happen. I don't think they would.
I think it's actually a lower risk
than people
realize.
Yeah. So I think they should put him in jail because this guy does not respect the outcomes of the cases.
No.
And you have to put people in prison if they don't respect the outcome of the case.
Yeah, I mean it's narcissism at its highest, at its most extreme in a lot of cases with him. But say he gets thrown in jail, is he still allowed to run for president? I think he is.
Oh yeah, he is.
What do you think the consequences of him winning the election would be if he's thrown in jail? Do you think that would give him an extra motivation to get his revenge, or is his revenge already plotted out and planned to the T, whether he ends up in a jail cell or not?
Ah, man, he's been campaigning on revenge his whole career.
That's hilarious that this guy, people want to vote him in so he can get his revenge. It's personal.
If they can do it to him, they can do it to you. If you falsify your business records 34 times, they can get you.
And that's why I've always avoided starting a business, Sam, because I just couldn't help myself. I know that. I know myself.
So tempting.
It's I just, any opportunity I have to falsify anything, I do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Law and Order should do that. And it's going to be fun. That's on July 11th.
July 11th. Okay. Good stuff. Well, I have to get going. I have to pick up my wife. See you next weekend. Wedding 2 of 5 for me. I knocked one out of the park last weekend. Congratulations, Stuart Jones and Vanessa Jones.
Congratulations.
It was a fun wedding. And looking forward to the next one, which I have to MC. So I got to friggin'. I gotta start getting my shit together for that too. But it's gonna be a good time.
Hell yeah.
Anything else to add?
I'm so hungry.
Okay, go get your freaking FBI pizza, you whore.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.